is March 12th, and this is spring cleaning.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. And you are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of that. With that said, I would like to start with this little handout that I gave you, because I thought it was so just a wonderful little thing. You know, when we used to say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. I still have those on my cards. I still say that to people. Some people understand that, some people don't. But it's right in here again. And this is from a Lenten book that I do for the 40 days of Lent. So this was the third Sunday in Lent, was March, was March the 11th. And Easter, of course, will be April the 8th. And then in 8 days, will also, it will be spring. Spring will come. So let's go over this. I am the fullness of God's love. I am the fullness of God's love. It may be said that God is life, God is intelligence, God is power, and God is love. But again, all this is simply abstract generalizations unless and until we can say, whatever else God is me. See, that sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Whatever else God is me. All that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. Whatever else God is me. Not that I am all of God, but that I am that something that I call God as it is expressing itself as me. God is life, and I am that life manifesting as my body temple. God is intelligence, and I am that intelligence in the form of the wisdom of my mind. God is power, and I am that power in the form of my strength and creativity to build and shape. God is love, and I am that love expressing in and through and as my loving heart. Thus, it is not love that is the great need in the life of persons. It is loving. It is loving. Learning to love instead of learning to be loved. I have so many clients that come to me because they want somebody to love them, and they want love instead of expressing love, instead of being love itself. If you learn to be love itself, that's learning to be God, or that's learning to practice the presence of God. So that goes right back to the many times that I told you, you were gods and goddesses. And we must remember that there were gods and goddesses, and that this thing called God is operating in, as, and through us. And the more we remember that, the better our life is going to be. But for some reason, there's so many things out there in the world that take that away from us. Because, as I say, the world is very convincing. And you do not want to be convinced by the world. You do not want to be convinced by your own mind, other people, other institutions, and so forth. During this month called spring cleaning, clean all those old ideas out of your mind, get rid of them, and just affirm, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. We make that wonderful statement all the time, that God is the only thing that exists, that this thing called power, intelligence, wisdom, love, is all there is, and then we go right ahead and don't believe that we're part of that, that we're outside of that. We're outside of nothing. We're inside of everything, and we're certainly inside of God, and God is in us. And this thing, this life, which I just said, such is the nature of life, is such is the nature of God, that all it wants and all it asks is an opportunity to appear. And you are that opportunity. So allow that divinity that is already in you, or that God power, or that wisdom, that love, that intelligence, to come up through you and out into the world. That's as simple and easy as the thing can get. Instead of thinking that there's something outside of you, somewhere doing something, pulling strings, or whatever you, some people think that this God character is, you know, God is not a person. God is a life. God is an energy. God is life itself. And we have to remember that. So, we have to remember that we are always the cause unto our own experience. What we are experiencing because we are creating it. When you realize that you are creating something, you can stop creating it and you create what you want. But as long as you think that something else is creating that, that the hard times that you're having, that this is whatever is going on, is caused by something besides yourself. Or if you think that it is caused by God, you're off track. You're causing everything. Because all that you are is God. You are God itself. So you have to take that responsibility. And when I say take that responsibility, that doesn't mean you have to say, oh my goodness, look what I've done and all this kind of stuff. Just look at it. Oh, well, okay. And go on from that. Don't make such a big deal. So many people are afraid to take responsibility for their own actions. You have to take responsibility for your actions, your reactions, for everything that comes into your life. Once you learn that, that's the freedom. That's the power that sets you free. Oh, I did that. Okay. I can do something better. And I don't have to live in what I've created. I can recreate all the time, and that's all we're doing. Many people study the Course in Miracles, and the Course in Miracles always boils down to choose and choose again. Choose and choose again. If you don't like what you have chosen, choose something else. Life is a big smorgasbord. If you don't like something that you pick up from the smorgasbord, go back to the board and get more. Remember? I often tell people one of my metaphysical mentors is Auntie Mame. And what did Auntie Mame say? Life is a banquet, and most poor bastards are starving to death. Life is a banquet. It's out there. It's a smorgasbord. You don't have to take everything that comes. You take what you want. And if you take something and it doesn't work, it doesn't taste good or whatever, throw it away. We live in an abundant universe. So do that for yourself. But we got stuck somewhere along the line thinking, once you make a choice, you have to stay with that choice. I grew up in a community and a mindset that was, you made your bed, now you must lie in it. You made your bed, now you must lie in it. Mistakes in my family were never forgotten. If you made one mistake, one error, one thing, you lived with that for 30 years, and every time you met with those people, they would remind you of that. Do you remember when you did this? And I felt like saying, no, I do not remember when I did that, but you people certainly do. See, you have to let that go. You can't keep living in those mistakes, in those things. And the mistakes that we were making at that time, that my family was always saying, do you remember when you did this? I was a child, for goodness sakes. I was a child. I did childish things, like any child. So you have to forgive those people, and you have to forgive yourself, and you have to look at that and say, isn't that silly? But I think the main point here is to know, if they bring that up to you, when you're growing up and with parents who said, do you remember when you did that? Their parents did that to them. And they're now doing that to you. So what kind of a life were they having when they were raising you, because they were constantly reminding themselves of the mistakes they made and all the silliness that went along and so forth, instead of saying, oh, I made a mistake. Let it go. You know, in this teaching, we consider mistakes instant karma. We consider a mistake instant karma. And we say, oh, thank goodness I noticed that it was a mistake. Wouldn't it be awful if you didn't notice it was a mistake? Then it would go on and on and on and on. You'd keep doing it. You just say, oh, it was a mistake. I wasn't thinking correctly at the moment. We have to learn to forgive ourselves for those things. You know, those are the things that we have done in life. We say, oh, if I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have done that, which is absolutely correct. You wouldn't have done that. So you can't punish yourself. You didn't have the knowledge at that time. Now you have the knowledge, so you don't do it anymore. Just using your intelligence now and your wisdom. But to punish yourself for something that you did when you were not capable of thinking correctly is so absolutely ridiculous to me. Which brings me to another situation. I told you I very seldom watch the news, but I did catch this thing of that college student who apparently taped his roommate having sex, and then the roommate jumped off the bridge and killed himself. Now they're trying to say that that was a hate crime, and they're really going to... I can't believe that they're doing that. Then they're going to ruin two lives. I feel very bad that somebody didn't thought so lowly of themselves that they jumped off the bridge. If he would have known that he was worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that he mattered, he wouldn't have jumped off the bridge. The young man, now this is only my opinion, played a prank on him. College people play a prank. But they're saying, oh, he did this, this, and this. Now, most people do not realize that your mind does not mature completely till like 21, 22 years of age. And sometimes it takes a little longer even than that for your mind, the reasoning part of your mind, to work. That's why teenagers do such dumb things. That part of their mind has not formed yet. So to ruin two lives or to say this and that and the other thing and make this great big to-do over it, I think is awful. Here again, my opinion. Now, the other thing is, if you're in this teaching or if you're in Christianity at all, isn't the whole idea of Christianity to forgive instantly, is to forgive instantly, and to separate the sin from the sinner? And I don't see that, because the world wants to punish him. And that's why you cannot trust the world. It always wants to punish somebody. And we don't punish people. We don't punish people. You have to have compassion. You have to have compassion. So anyway, how that will play out, I don't know. But I'm doing a lot of treatment work that the wisdom that is in the universe will operate through all the people concerned in that situation so that the right and perfect outcome will be there. Because to ruin two lives, I think, is unheard of for me. So, anyway, with that said, would you say that and pass it around, please?
My words express the love and wisdom of God.
My words express the love and wisdom of God.
My words express the love and wisdom of God.
My words express the love and wisdom of God.
My words accept the love and wisdom of God.
My words express the love and wisdom of God.
Yes, and my words express the love and wisdom of God. This is a choice, again, that we're making here. Remember, we're always trying to practice the presence of God. So, in any situation, how would God handle this? What would God say in a situation like this? So, kind words, uplifting words are what we need and what we need to pass on. They not only uplift us, they uplift the other person. And that reminds me now of our dear friend Rhoda, who always said, sarcasm tears the flesh. Sarcasm tears the flesh. You see, and we think sarcasm is so funny, so witty, sarcastic people. Very harmful. It's a very harmful thing. God is not sarcastic. So try to express God in your words and in your actions, because you are God. You see, instead of thinking about something else. We always have to be practicing the presence of God, because all that you are is God, but you are not all that God is. Now I'm going to read cards a little differently tonight, and then we're going to do something else. It is said, if you love something, set it free. And we've all heard that expression for years. If you love something, set it free. I love myself enough to release any notions that I should have been different or I should have acted differently in the past. You have to set yourself free. You have to set yourself free. I love myself enough to release any notions that I should have been different or should have acted differently in the past. Stop punishing yourself for the past. It is over. It is done. When we do that, we become our own jailers. And we are the ones who put ourselves in jail, and we keep punishing ourselves over and over and over. That's that little ego mind that does that to you. Tell that mind what? You have never been my friend. You have never brought me any good news. Now go back to the nothingness from whence you came. Go back to the nothingness from whence you came. There is no way, oh, this one I love. There is no way that your prayer can be answered unless you change the level of your thinking. There is no way that your prayer can be answered unless you change the level of your thinking. And that's what this teaching is about. It's teaching you to think differently. It's teaching you to think good thoughts about yourself. I have a client I'm teaching to look in the mirror. Remember the mirror exercise, wonderful, wonderful me? And she's having a very difficult time doing it. She doesn't think it's good. She thinks it's hokey. She's having all kinds of resistance to it. She is not having the resistance. Her mind is having the resistance. Your mind does not want you to know that you're wonderful. The world doesn't want you to know that you're wonderful, because then if people think they're wonderful, then we're going to have a lot of conceited people running around. And Lord knows we can't have conceited people. But if you think of yourself as wonderful all the time. That was an exercise I gave out years and years ago. And I still do that. Every time I pass a mirror, I say, wonderful, wonderful me. And in my home, I have many mirrors. Many mirrors. So do that. Look at yourself. Realize that you're a wonderful human being. We're magnificent. We're absolutely magnificent beings. We're powerful beings. We're magnificent beings because we are God itself. And that life of God is expressing through us. That creativity is expressing through us. Now, the last one here. What I hold in my heart creates the emotional space I live in and share with others. What I hold in my heart creates the emotional space I live in and share with others. What is in your heart? What is in your heart? Remember, I have told you before, we're always moving in and out of thought atmospheres. What thought atmosphere are you living in your own being? What do you have going on inside of you? Do you have that idea that you're wonderful? Do you have the idea that you're whole and complete and perfect? Do you have that other one that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. That's the thought atmosphere you want inside of you. I've told you before about thought atmospheres, that we walk in and out of them, but we create these thought atmospheres with our thinking. But the main thing about a thought atmosphere is, you don't want to be around, of course, people that are mean, hateful, and all. It doesn't feel good. Now, that's what they're holding inside of them. The importance of this whole thing of having a wonderful thought atmosphere going on inside of you is because resurrection is going on inside of you all the time. Cells are always being born. So you have to ask yourself, what kind of an environment do I want my cells to be born into? What kind of an environment do I want my cells to be born into? So as you know that you're wonderful, as you know that all these things, that you're magnificent, all, now your cells are being born into that. But if you're mean, hateful, spiteful, and you think all kinds of negativity, your cells are born into that. Your cells are born into that. And you see that with people who have an awful thought atmosphere. They're always complaining about some ailment going on inside of them, because their cells are not happy. I always call it happy cells, you know. And I don't know how many people remember happy, happy, happy talk. Remember? Yes.
My favorite musical.
Yes. And that's what you do. I go that happy, happy, happy talk. Happy cells, happy cells. Now, that again is what? Using your imagination. We are never going to get away from this thing called the imagination. So while we're talking about the imagination, before we do a meditation here, you know there's not God and your imagination. There's God as your imagination. You see, any time you think that it's something other than God, that's called separation. And you can't have separation going on. But we use these things, these words, we say, my imagination. Well, it's the imagination of God working in, as, and through you. And that, as I said before, is the biggest tool that you have in your toolbox. So you want to pull that imagination out just absolutely constantly. Because it boils down to the idea of that thought atmosphere that's going on inside of you is going to produce on the outside of life. So what you hold inside, you will project on the outside of life. And that's why some people, you just love them right away because something good's going on inside them. They don't even have to say anything. You just get a nice feeling from those people because their inside is working correctly. But we keep judging by the outside. We keep judging by appearances and things. I had a friend, Rosin. I'll tell you a cute story about her. I just love her. We were at a party at her friend Mabel's house. Mabel's husband had just died. And she said to me, you know, I introduced Mabel and the husband. And I said, oh, really? She said, yes. Mabel needed money and he wanted sex. She said it made a perfect couple. She was old. These people were. Mabel at that time was 90-something, and Roz was in her 80s. But that was just one little story. I just loved that woman. But her husband.
Perfect match.
Yeah, perfect match, she said. Her husband had one of those big red noses, rosacea noses. Uh-huh. And she said, he said to her, do you mind that? She said, absolutely not. I never even noticed that you have too many good qualities inside of you. I'm not looking at the outside. I'm not looking at the outside. I thought that was wonderful. Mm-hmm. See? So don't look at the outside. We have this. I mean, it's nice to look good on the outside. Yes. But that's not the end all be all of the thing. See? So let's use our imagination now. It's called spring house painting. Last week we started with our garden, the garden of our mind. And we started to plant what we wanted that would grow in our garden and come to a fruition, to a harvest, so that we can manifest what we want in our lives. So let's close our eyes and let's see our garden. For the new people that are here that weren't here last year, we made sure that the ground in our garden was tilled, was fertilized. All the weeds were pulled. And that we planted in nice, straight, orderly rows. And at the end of the rows, we put a little sign, like a seed packet, of what we planted in that row. Hence, we should forget. Because it boils down to the idea, if you plant a radish, you're going to get a radish. So whatever you plant in your mind, you're going to get. It's not going to change. You're not going to plant a turnip and wind up with a potato. And so many people think that they can do that. So during this idea of spring cleaning, getting your garden in order, planting what you want, let's remember and take a hint from the outside world this time, from this thing that we call nature, and realize that nature produces after the seed that you plant. So what kind of seeds are you planting in that garden? Are you planting seeds of love, of understanding, of wisdom, of intelligence, of compassion? Have you planted those in your garden? Now you may also plant any desire that you want to bring into your life. A career, a love, a lover, prosperity and abundance, cars, houses, trains, planes, you can do any of it. But you have to plant that. And then you have to take care of it. So as you stand here tonight in your garden, in that garden of your mind, can you see your rows? Are they orderly? Can you smell the earth, how rich it is? Because that's the medium that you're going to put in there. So if you can smell that ground, that earth, that dirt, whatever you want to call it, what does it smell like? Does it have that wonderful sweet smell to it? And if it doesn't, how do you get that? By using your imagination. You start to use your imagination and you start to water that garden of your mind. With self-love. By realizing that you are a wonderful, deserving human being. And that you deserve the very best. And by getting rid of any notion that your garden is not going to grow for you. Is not going to do what you want it to do. You're going to take care of it. You're going to weed it. You're going to fertilize it. You're going to water it. And it's going to grow for you. In your mind, think about putting your hands in that medium, in that earth. Feel it. Taste it. Children, you know, love to eat dirt. Give it every bit of attention that you can give it. And those rows now that you have planted, start to see them sprouting. Start to realize that something wonderful is happening with inside of you. Start to realize that what you are seeking is seeking you. And it's coming up in the garden of your mind. In Ernest Holmes' book, Science of Mind, he makes the statement that you must realize that if what you want and what is needed to bring a demonstration into your life is in the deepest, darkest Africa at the present moment, you must realize that it is on its way to you now. That it is on its way to you now. That nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. If you tend the garden of your mind by getting rid of negations of any type, by thinking this is a silly little exercise, get rid of those thoughts. Get rid of those thoughts. And start to spread your garden with the idea, the thought atmosphere, that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And this thing called God, that you are one with, wants your garden to grow and is there helping you. Notice the weeds, notice this, notice that, so that what you plant has very strong roots going down, down, down. So that you can manifest, you can demonstrate. So see your garden already in full bloom. You see, you must always see the end result before it takes form in this plane of action. And this is what we don't do sometimes. We don't see the end result. Always start at the end. See it already done. When you look at the garden, see the harvest already there. And it will be done for you. And then let your garden alone. When I say let your garden alone, I mean do not dig up these plants constantly. Do not shake the roots and this, that, and the other thing. No. But you have planted something, then it's growing. You don't have to check it every 2 minutes. You have to have faith. I planted that, and now it is growing. That's what you need to know. That's all you need to know. And when you want something, you do not have to come up with any reason why you want it. The mere fact that you want it is enough. Give up the idea that you have to explain why you want something. And the best thing to do, don't show your garden to anyone. That's a secret garden. That's your garden. Keep it to yourself. Because people will come into your garden and they will trample it. They will pull it up. Do not allow that. They will say, oh, well, I planted this. Why you plant that? I don't want that. I would like this. Tell them to shut up. Leave your secret garden to yourself. It is your place. It is your place to go so that you can manifest during this season called spring. This is the season when things start to grow. They have done it for millennium, from day one. It has worked this way. From day one, it has worked this way. So see that garden. Keep it orderly. Keep the weeds out of it. The weeds of doubt. Keep focused. And know that what you plant, you will get. Plant a radish, get a radish every time. I will be quiet a moment. You will come back when you are ready. So once again, this is as easy and as simple as this teaching gets. We're always teaching mind, and we're always teaching your mind. And what's going on inside of your mind? We don't care what's going on in other people's minds. We care what's going on in our mind. So we keep that mind fertile, and we cultivate it constantly. And we get rid of things that we no longer need. Old thoughts, old judgments, old beliefs. What is happening is usually we are getting rid of things that we have learned because they're no longer serving us. And because most of the time, they are wrong. I will give you an example of what I mean. People talk about evolution. And they say, well, it's just evolution carrying us along. Once again, we cannot have evolution in God. We can have God as evolution. And we have to realize that we have now reached a point in civilization, reached a point in our intellectual, spiritual, and emotional life where we are participating with evolution itself. And we are moving evolution along now. It is not moving us along. We are moving it along. We stay behind at times with so much thinking. You know the whole idea, which is called the new biology, which is the idea now, and it's a proven scientifically. When I was a much younger person in high school and college, we were taught that the nucleus of a cell was where the brain of the cell lived. That the nucleus of the cell was the most important thing about the cell. That is no longer the case. You can remove the nucleus, the cell does not die. In new biology, it's the membrane of the cell. And the membrane of the cell contains all the information that it needs. Why do we not know that, and why is that not being taught in schools and universities? One very simple reason. It's called economics. It would cost too much to make a new textbook. Too much to make a new textbook. So we've learned a great many things that now we must release. We must learn something new. And that's what this teaching is all about. Ernest Holmes said that this teaching is open at the top. It must remain open at the top. It must evolve and evolve and evolve. Your ideas about yourself have evolved. Your ideas about God have evolved. You see, if you still think that God is that old man sitting on a cloud with a white beard or something, you have to evolve past that. We are no longer teaching the faith of our fathers. The faith of our fathers perhaps worked for them. Personally, I do not believe that because I saw the faith of my father and it didn't help them at all. Didn't help them at all. This teaching is teaching you to use your mind and to use it correctly. And to use this wonderful gift of imagination so that you can bring into your life what you want to bring into your life. So that you can give up the idea of lack and limitation and replace it with prosperity and abundance. So that you can learn to see goodness everywhere. So that you can learn that you are total goodness. That you were not born in sin. And you have to work your way out of that the rest of your life. You're here to realize your magnificence and learn to enjoy your life. Because your life is the life of God. And that life is filled with joy, happiness. Just a mere thing of thinking of life. That life that is inside of you, coursing through you, has taken a form. Life is everywhere present. And all it needs is that opportunity to appear. And that life we're talking about is the life of God. And all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. And it appears in the form of you. So, all that you are is God. But you are not all that God is. Because God is everything. So if you realize that God is everything, and that God is the only thing, then what would you ever have to fear? What would you ever have to fear? The world teaches fear. Do not buy into the world. Give up fear. And learn to love. Learn to love everything. But particularly, learn to love yourself. So during this period of spring, this period of spring cleaning, clean out from your mind any ideas that you are not totally love. You are the full expression of God's love. I've given you that affirmation many times. I am the full expression of God's love. Not partial. Not some part of. But full. F-U-L-L. Full expression of God's love. I do three bowings every morning. And in those bowings I say, I am the full expression of God's love. Just as God is love, so am I. I am love. I do that three times every morning. I remind myself. Remind yourself. No one else is going to do it for you. You have to do it yourself. Life is an inside job, and it's a do-it-yourself project. But it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.